For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. As our country focuses on celebrating liberty and independence this week, we identify with monuments such as the Statue of Liberty, Mount Rushmore, or some of the many memorials and buildings in our nation's capital. As Americans, we are filled with patriotism when we see these images on display. They remind us of the courage and sacrifice required to provide our freedom. As Christians, when we think about spiritual freedom, the monument constantly before us is the cross of Christ. It is there that our souls are set free. Today, we are considering the cross. Pastor Holland begins a two-part series entitled, At the Cross. Turn with us in the New Testament to the book of John, chapter 19, as we begin.
But I'm telling you, on that cross that day was a king. He was the King of kings and Lord of lords. He had all power given unto him. And every tribe and every nation, every tongue, has the opportunity to confess that King is their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and be saved and born again by the Spirit of God. And so John said, I want you to fix your eyes upon this record that is there. I want you to know today, first and foremost, if you don't get anything outside the message, I want you to know that Jesus of Nazareth was the King of the Jews. And he was not only the King of the Jews. The Bible said he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Even while Jesus was fixed on the cross, he never ceased to rule and to reign. I tell you, the songwriter penned it right when he said he could have called 10,000 angels, and he could have. I tell you, the songwriters have made it right, and the truth is known that if he'd wanted to, he could have come down. But he just ruled from where he was, fulfilling the Word of God and dying for you and I. As we look today upon that scene, if we see him fixed upon the cross, we think about the record that John bore, but also consider the saying John records. The Bible says, as we come to this in understanding, that John records something here that Matthew, Mark, and Luke did not give us about the cross. One of those is something Jesus said to his mother. This is the only place you'll find this. But here's Jesus fixed on the cross. And John wants us to see the record. But he wants us to see, he wanted to record what he said to his mother. Look at verse 26. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple, and John doesn't call himself by name, but that's who it is. And the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. In verse 27, then saith he to his disciples, he said to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And John tells us from that day forward, he began to care for Jesus' mother. He took her home with him, if you'll read the remainder of verse 27. And from that hour, he took her unto his own home. In one sense, this is Jesus doing what any good, godly son would do for his mother, who stood there before him. And he says, Behold thy mother. Do you see the Savior on the cross today? I tell you, we see him hanging there, but he's not just hanging there, just dying for a sinful world, although he is. But he's dying for you and I, in order that we might have everlasting life. And I believe in the sense of the word, as he looked upon his mother with compassion, I believe today when he hung on the cross, he looked upon every one of us. I do not understand and I cannot comprehend the mind of God. But I know that God knew all those that would be born in the future. He knows everything about us. In fact, he is omnipotent. He's sovereign in his knowledge. John said, what I want you to see is the scene before me. I want you to see Jesus fixed on the cross, but I want you to see that sign. I want you to get it in your head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Understand that. And the second thing I want you to see is as Jesus hangs on that cross, he was thinking about someone other than himself. He was thinking about his mother, but friend, he was thinking about every person in this world that he was dying for in order that one day they might be saved. But I'm telling you, John gave us another great account about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. He didn't want us to see the Savior fixed on the cross only, but He warned us to listen to the Scriptures fulfilled at the cross. What you find is a good doctrinal study of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, about all the fulfillment that took place. Notice these fulfilled Scriptures with me. I want to point them out to you. Scripture that indicated the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts to every soldier, a part, and also His coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Now, likely, they began to divide up His clothing. There were five pieces, and obviously it seems only four of them. So they took the five garments and they divided among the four, but there was another garment that was quite expensive. It had no seams. And they knew it was worth a lot. And so rather than ripping it apart and all of them taking a part, which would make it literally useless, they decided that they would gamble for that or cast lots. And as they did that, the Bible said in verse 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. Now John is referring to Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 18. It's a very interesting psalm. It describes the crucifixion in much detail. And the writer of Psalms could not have possibly known what was going to happen at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit of God enlightening him and giving him the words that he needed to write. That's what makes my God so special, is the sovereignty of God even before His Son died on the cross, that He empowered the psalmist to write in detail about the crucifixion. And friend, today, if there's nothing more that would make you believe, it ought to be the fact that it was prophesied and it was fulfilled, and God alone in His knowledge is the only one that could bring that to fruition. These Roman soldiers would have not had any idea what the prophecy said. They probably had never heard it, never thought about it, and the reason they didn't do it was not because they wanted the Scripture to be fulfilled. They did it out of greed. They did it out of desire to get what they wanted, and they could care less about what would happen in Jesus' life. And by the way, had they known that the Scripture said that, they'd have probably done it just so they could have refuted what the Bible said. But God, fixed on the cross, was still ruling. He was still in charge. He was still able to make it be fulfilled what was said. And yet He was overruling their activity. He was fulfilling His word that had been predicted. And the real story is the story of the cross. God was sovereign in His actions of sinful men who nailed Jesus to the cross. But we also find John pointing out Scripture illustrating the sacrifice of God. Look, if you would, down at verse 28. The Bible said, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. John says, listen to me. Somebody today listening to John might say, John, you've already said that. And he said, I'm going to say it again and again and again and again, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, because I want you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, they had accomplished that it might be fulfilled. And Jesus said, I thirst. The next prophetic scripture John points to reveals the sacrificial Savior is even clearer way. Look down, if you would, verse 36. The Bible said, for these things were done that the Scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of Him shall not be broken. What Scripture is he talking about? I think the closest thing we find is in Exodus 12 in verse 46. He's speaking of the Passover lamb, and it was to be handled by the people. And it said, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Can I tell you today, the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament's leg was not to be broken. And friend, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, His leg neither would be broken. In order that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus sees the unbroken bones. He sees the proof that He's the true Passover. He's the true sacrifice for His people. So in this record of Scripture indicating the sovereignty of God, but it's illustrating the sacrifice of God. But there's one more fulfilled scripture that John points out, and that's the scripture identifying him as the Son of God. Look with me at verse 37. "And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." What did they do when they came to break his legs? They wanted to be sure he was dead, so they took a spear, they pierced his side, and out flowed blood and water. Friend, when you get down to blood and water, there's no life in the body. Zechariah chapter 12, long before Jesus ever died on the cross, and it happened just as he said. In that particular chapter, God himself speaking through the prophet, did you notice? He said, "My people will look upon me whom they have pierced." My people, who's his people? Friend, today we're his people. And I tell you today, when people in this world that Jesus died for, when they look upon him, they look upon the one that they pierced in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Again, we see the sovereignty of God controlling the events, even down to the gambling of the Roman soldiers. He looks up and he sees the suffering sacrifice Lamb of God being offered for his people. And he sees most of all that God himself, who is suffering, is not just any son, but he's the Son of God who is pierced on the tree. But lastly, and most important, he wants us to live by the salvation that is finished on the cross. John gives us an eyewitness testimony for one reason and one reason only, that we might believe. We find it is simply that Jesus actually died on the Roman cross, perched up on a skull-shaped hill outside the city of Jerusalem. That's all true. But it's not that that John wants us to see. He wants us to see Jesus dying in order that we might believe and call on his names. He wants us to see Jesus' death and live. First of all, we need to know what was completed on the cross that day. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The word "it is finished" comes from one word, a word that simply means completed. Jesus had completed all that he had done. His suffering was enough. His sin bearing was enough. His sacrifice was enough. And there that day on that cross, he said, "It's finished." So, know what was completed, but lastly, know what would come after the cross. They brought expensive spices to anoint his body. They wrapped him up in grave clothes. They carried him to a tomb that had never been used before. And with loving care, they laid the body to rest inside. As we watch these men care for the Lord, we are touched. Because I tell you today, you and I ought to want to serve the one who died for us. We live by his death because we know of his life. We live knowing what the cross has purchased for him. But we also know what the tomb promises to us when he arose. And listen to me, because of the cross and the empty tomb, now I am happy all the day.
Composer Ira Stamphill wrote the words, "Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you." Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.